Blog Talk Radio. I wish that I could fully understand what's going on, but I think I do, in the essence that we're changing. This society, man, we are so changing. We're so getting out there, man. Get the article I want to read. Tonight we do some little union news and stuff, but I also wanted to read, try to do some health reports and things on genetically modified foods and all the kind of crap that's happening around the world here. It's hard to do in just 1 hour, but, you know, go on and on and on, but, you know, no one wants to listen for much longer than an hour to this kind of stuff. I don't know. If I were 20 years younger, I don't know if I would be, maybe I'd be an anarchist or I would just commit suicide, one or the other, I don't know. But if I had this world to look at for another 30 or 40 years, I don't think I could handle it, I swear to God, I really don't. But anyway, based on that note, let's look at something here. Let's look at a couple of recent things. I usually start the night off with some union issues on Wednesday night, and I try to find some. Everything has to do with unions. I mean, you know, let's keep our world safe. Let's keep our jobs. Let's keep our, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to find the union issues that I pulled up today. I thought I put them on Facebook, but I didn't. I usually try to put this stuff up here. There's so much hilarity out there, just, you know, so much craziness that I really want to thank all my friends on Facebook for sending me such great stuff every day. Just amazing stuff. But it comes in so fast and furious. I mean, I'll get like 50 or 60 things on my wall inside of 5 minutes, you know, and great stuff. And I just can't keep up with all of it most of the time. But, I just had three things come in from AskMe that I wanted to read. I've just been inundated with, I think most people know that I do a show at 7 o'clock, and a lot of people just, you know, cram their stuff in right before the show, and I thank them for that. So, a tremendous amount of news. But the one I wanted to, it's getting here. My God, I can't believe it. I must have gone to 100 pieces in just the last 5 minutes. Come on, guys. Come on. You're there. I can see you. You're coming. All right. But the, just bear with me for 1 second, folks. I'm sorry. I can't believe how inundated I got with news articles just in the last 5 minutes. Just unbelievable. Again, I thank all my listeners for that, all my Facebook friends. I hate to start the show like this, but I'm going to do this. I'm just going to take a very quick break, a music break here, and solidarity and support. Oh, double good for our locked out Kellogg's workers. I didn't realize that the Kellogg's employees were fighting for their jobs. But it says more than 220 workers who have been locked out of their jobs at a Kellogg's Memphis, Tennessee plant since October are receiving international solidarity for workers around the world, and support in a holiday cheer from fellow bakery, confectionery, tobacco, and grain miller members. The BCTGM Local 252 G members who make Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, and other baked breakfast favorites were locked out as part of the drive for the $14 billion company to replace steady middle-class full-time jobs with casual part-time employees who would make significantly lower wages and substandard benefits. A just posted pension by the petition by the United Union of Food, Agricultural, Hotel, Restaurant, Catering, Tobacco, and Allied Workers Association, the IUF, says Memphis workers and their employees, Memphis workers and their union are battling for the future of the next generation of Kellogg's workers and for the defense of negotiated standards against the expansion of disposable jobs. And you can click here to sign the petition. Go to AFL-CIO blog.now. All right? And the Kellogg's company, President John Bryant, urging him to take immediate action to lift the lockout, abandon the expansion of casual jobs, and negotiate in good faith for a fair agreement. Meanwhile, members from BCTGM, Kellogg's Local 550G, in Omaha, Nebraska, and 3G in Battle Creek, Michigan, are in Memphis this weekend delivering gifts and support to the lockout workers and their families. As they gather at the Union Hall, the workers' children composed handwritten letters to Bryant telling him about her parents and how the lockout has affected their families. Each letter is accompanied by a photo of the sender. See more in the video below. So, yeah, there's several videos here below on this, but you know, I mean, boycott Kellogg. Come on. Just boycott all their goddamn foods, okay? Kellogg is a crooked company. They're a miserable company. They've done nothing but destroy children, okay, with their miserable food, all right? And now they're destroying their workers, okay, their middle-class workers, all right? Kellogg has refused to abandon GMOs, all right? So, sorry, folks. You know, on the lockout, but you're working for a shitty company, so you know you got to expect the worst, and that's the case, my friend. But you know, while we're at trying to get Kellogg's to work with their people, also why don't they clean up their food? You know, horrible food that they're trying to sell to everybody, trying to get kids to, you know. Mm. It just gets worse and worse, folks. It's time to raise the minimum wage. I have to agree with this. God, it's time to raise the minimum wage. Most agree economy is out of whack. Okay? That's so true. Nearly two-thirds of American workers, including 48% of Republicans, say the nation's economic policies favor the wealthy over the less well-off, according to new Washington Post ABC News poll. The poll also finds that 57% of people want the government to pursue policies to combat the record levels of economic inequality in America that the Post says has reached dimensions not seen since the years preceding the Great Depression. This month, President Obama said that making sure the economy works for every working American is a defining challenge of our time. Yeah, he is the jerk-off guy that's put us in this position. One of those policies would be to raise federal minimum wage, which has been stuck at $7.25 an hour since 2009. Overall, 66% support boosting minimum wage, including Republicans, 50 to 45. The Fair Minimum Wage Act of 2013 would raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour over the next 3 years. That's nothing. The bill also would index the minimum wage to protect it against inflation. Tipped workers would currently make only $2.13 an hour, would see their hourly wages raised to 70% of the minimum wage, but Republican filibusters threats have blocked the bill from coming to a vote. While the federal minimum wage has not been raised since 2009, workers and their allies are focused on local and state action. Just recently, lawmakers in District of Columbia and Prince George and Montgomery counties in Maryland voted to increase the minimum wage in their jurisdictions to $11.50 an hour by 2017, God, and index it to inflation. In November, voters in SeaTac, a small town outside of Seattle, Tacoma, Washington, voted to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The measure is being challenged in court. Now workers are mobilizing a campaign to convince the Seattle City Council to follow suit. So, you know, we got to raise this wage, folks. You know, otherwise, you know, who in the hell is getting who with this? You know, who, you know, it's just a, you know, it's just a joke. It's just a complete joke. You know, this country is becoming a complete joke. So, you know, let's support some unions here, all right? And get some jobs straightened out, get these things straightened out, because I don't know how else you're going to get them straightened out. I don't think you will. All right. Let's go back to, if we can, let's go back to my stuff on Facebook here that I wanted to talk about tonight. 10 problems genetically modified foods are already causing. Now, you know, you got to understand, folks, I mean, the places like Kellogg's and General Mills and, you know, all these damn cereal companies, they've been killing us for years, still killing us. Stop eating the crap that they're selling. Boycott those companies and make them sell organic foods and whatever that are, you know, healthy for you and not killing you. 10 problems genetically modified food are already causing. The difficulty of debating the subject of genetically modified food is that they are so new that we don't really know how they affect the human body. They just haven't existed long enough to draw conclusive facts. However, we don't need to wait around for decades to see how scientifically engineered foods will impact our nutritional health, since they are already causing enough trouble in other ways to prove they're not worth our while. Well, believe me, folks, you know, they're terrible. They create super bugs and super weeds. The good thing about designing a plant with an insecticide gene is it eliminates a lot of unwanted bugs. The downside is that only the strongest insects survive, resulting in a new class of super bugs resistant to both the crops and phytotoxins and sprays on chemicals. In 2011, scientists examined 13 major pests and found that 5 were immune to the poisons. Yeah. So they're creating superbugs. What sometimes confuses people with the data, however, is that farmers, they actually experience a lower need for chemicals in the first few years of growing a GMO crop. Yet once the pests and weeds develop immunity, farmers have little choice except to spray ever increasing amounts of herbicides and pesticides, effectively raising their own operating costs and pollution levels. GMOs kill bees and butterflies. All right, farmers can't harvest seeds. Yeah, they can't even create their own. They can't even harvest their own seeds. Fundamentally, farming is a simple process: plant seeds, grow crops, harvest food crops, and gather seeds from the plants for the next season. Well, sadly, GMO companies like Monsanto take the last step away from farmers and raise expenses even further by forcing the farmers to continually buy the premium-priced GM seeds every growing season. In fact, as was shown in the Bowman versus Monsanto court case, it is illegal in the U.S. for someone growing a Monsanto crop to harvest the seeds and use them later. The Bowman case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and despite public outcry, the 70-year-old farmer was unanimously found guilty of patent infringement after he purchased and used second-generation Monsanto seeds. I mean, these bastards this is just horrible. And these courts are horrible, you know. And it's a revolution time, folks. It's time for a revolution. Just let's get out there and blow this place down, you know. Cross-pollination contaminates regular crops. Yeah, wonderful. One of the major problems of GM corn crops is that they are difficult to contain, which means they could be extremely hard to get rid of if we later decide they are a bad idea. Scientists have yet to figure out a way to control cross-pollination, so no matter how diligent a small organic farmer is in using natural growing methods, he can't stop pollen from a GM farm from blowing in, fertilizing and turning his crops into hybrids. Well, it's fairly easy to reduce contamination in some plants. With others, like canola and corn, it's nearly impossible. Yeah. So early on, Monsanto and others claimed cross-pollination wouldn't be an issue if farms were sufficiently spread apart. Yet this proved inaccurate when they found pollen could travel much farther than expected, several kilometers or more. As GM crops grow in popularity, we may not be able to choose between consuming or avoiding them, as all plants will be infected. Even buying food with an organic label doesn't put you totally in the clear, as some government governing agencies like the USDA don't revoke a farmer's organic status if a few plants were cross-pollinated with general with GM crops. Yeah. It's illegal to accidentally grow a GM plant. Increased suicide rates. Oh, geez, this is really beautiful. Farming is always a gamble, especially in places like India, where farmers depend on a strong monsoon season to provide enough water for their crops. If the monsoon fails, so does their livelihood. For this reason and the myriad of other socioeconomic challenges, suicide numbers among Indian farmers are staggeringly high, about 1,000 per month. Oh my God. GM crops are making matters worse as desperate farmers borrow money at extortionate rates to pay for magic GM seeds that unfortunately require twice the amount of water and don't live up to their pest-free claims. When bollworms continue to decimate their plants and the monsoon doesn't deliver, hopeless farmers crushed with insurmountable debt see no way out except to drink a deadly glass of insecticide. Despite there being over 125,000 suicides since the introduction of GM crops in India, and as reported in a New York Times article, the ridiculously high prices of seeds and pesticides are causing farmers to make less money than ever. Additionally, as pests and weeds become increasingly immune to the insecticides, farmers have to spend more money and more money on chemicals. And let's not forget, they are also legally required to buy new seeds every season, unless they want to be sued or forced to burn all of their plants. Well, while Monsanto sticks to its story of creating higher crop yields, there are many who disagree, including India's agricultural ministry. The ministry says Monsanto BT cotton was successful for 5 years. It now produces no better than any other crop. It blames GMO for the current rash of suicides among cotton farmers. In 2012, the panel of scientists commissioned by India's Supreme Court recommended a 10-year moratorium on field trials for all GM crops until further testing was done and stricter regulations created. It's uncertain when or if the government will put the advice into effect. Little government oversight. Yeah, that's a big problem, too. The sad thing is, the superbugs created by Roundup-ready plants may have been avoided if farmers were required to adhere to safety farming practices. For example, farmers who followed GM guidelines and plant refuges, areas of non-BT crops adjacent to their fields, GM fields, have extremely lower rates of pest resistance. However, a lack of training, resource, and environment means many farmers don't follow the refuge technique and superbugs continue to proliferate. This is likely what has led to the resurgence of the bollworm in India, as the bug has become unaffected by BT cotton, which was supposed to be bollworm-proof. Okay. Additionally, while 64 countries, including China and the European Union, require labeling of genetically engineered food, the United States, the largest producer of GM crops, still has no such law. This makes it incredibly difficult for people to choose whether or not they want to consume GM foods, as many folks aren't even aware when they're eating a GM product. For instance, the USDA says 94% of soy and 75% of all corn grow in the U.S. is genetically modified. When you consider some types of corn syrup, or soy, is in just about every prepackaged food, there's a good chance Americans are eating a lot of GMOs than they realize. And on top of that, many farm animals are consuming these engineered foods and passing them on in their meat. Number three, revolving door between government and biotech workers. As often as GMO protesters shout out the dangers of Frankenfoods, biotech companies respond scientific studies in hand that GM foods are perfectly safe. It's admittedly hard to make sense of the endless contradictory information, but there's at least one fact that should raise the eyebrows of every, of even the most neutral party. The former attorney and vice president of Monsanto, Michael Taylor, is now the deputy commissioner of the United States Food and Drug Administration. Ah, Taylor has also made health positions at the USDA and is often criticized for being in the revolving door of the public and private sector. Even those who don't gravitate toward conspiracy theories can't help but wonder if Taylor genuinely took the position with the FDA for his love of food safety and civil service, or if he has ulterior motives to protect his agribusiness buddies. This makes it hard to trust the FDA when they say GM foods pose no other risk than their natural counterparts. Trust diminishes even further when you consider that back in the 90s, FDA scientists warned that gene-sliced foods were significantly different and could lead to different risks as compared to conventional foods. For some reason, those findings didn't match official policy and harm biodiversity. Biological diversity, or biodiversity, refers to the variety of life forms in a particular region or on Earth as a whole. And maintaining biodiversity is important since every living thing plays a pivotal role in the circle of life we currently enjoy. While industrial farming produces biodiversity as agribusinesses clear the land of all native plants and focus on producing only one type of crop, this large-scale monocultural crop production has resulted in a 75% reduction in plant diversity since the 1900s. GM farms make things worse because not only do they produce a single plant species of corn, soybeans, and rice, but all of the plants within the species come from one modified source plant and are genetically identical. Having such unvaried crops is troublesome as it makes our food simply particularly susceptible to climate change, disease, and pests. And it's not just the biodiversity of plants that are affected. As mentioned, insects like bees and butterflies are already suffering, and herbicides are known to result in birth defects and population decline in amphibians, birds, soil organisms, and marine ecosystems. Businesses like Monsanto are further hampering biodiversity by systematically buying up seed firms and replacing tried-and-true conventional varieties with their higher-priced genetically engineered versions. While some argue Monsanto's ultimate goal is to control the world's food supply, it's more likely their motivation is simply higher profits. After all, they make much more money by selling their patented expensive must-buy every season seeds than by offering quality traditional seeds and distract from healthy, environmental-friendly technologies. Number one. One of the main strategies GM companies have used to push their way to the agricultural forefront is the promise of preventing a world food crisis and being the solution for hungry people in Africa and elsewhere. However, that assurance hasn't exactly panned out since GM crop yields are highly variable and some countries simply do not want to eat food designed in a laboratory. In fact, in 1998, 24 delegates from 18 African countries told the United Nations Food and Industrial Organization, we strongly object to that the image of the poor and hungry of our country is being used by giant multinational corporations to push a technology that is neither safe, environmentally friendly, or economically beneficial to us. We do not believe that such companies or gene technologies will help our farmers to produce the food that is needed in the 21st century. On the contrary, we think it will destroy the diversity, the local knowledge, and the sustainable agricultural systems that our farmers have developed for millennia, and that it will thus undermine our capacity to feed ourselves. And it goes on. Well, let me just one more paragraph. So if GMOs aren't the answer, how are we to feed the world's rapidly growing population? Fortunately, there are many viable solutions being advocated by farmers and scientists alike. For example, as reported by the 1996 National Research Council in the U.S., there are currently many crops such as pearl millet, fonio, and African rice that are nutritious, tasty, and produce well in harsh climates. Additionally, Environmentally friendly low-water farming methods such as the system of rice intensification, which improves rice production by 50 to 100%, is being used as a model for growing other crops in a sustainable manner. Other ideas include the decentralization of farming, urban farming, greenhouses on top of grocery stores, aquaponics, and more. Diversity, funds and resources away, diverting funds and resources away from GMO could allow one or more of these natural, wholesome practices to flourish. And I totally agree with that. You know, we just got to get rid of these guys. I mean, good God, man. They're just destroying our world. You know, that's all they're doing. That's all they're doing. Destroying us. We're allowing it. So anyway, and let's see. Oh, I love this. Here's the radiation is under control. The guy's got four arms. This is the chairman of the Fukushima. Yeah, man. You're not getting any news that's telling you anything. You gotta go to the internet, you gotta go to Facebook, you gotta go to, wherever the hell you can find it. Go to my show. The Rundown Live, this thing says. Milwaukee's Alternative Talk Radio. Well, that's all I'm good. Well, the study won't come up. Not doing me any good, buddy. I can't get the radio there. I can't get the report. Sorry, folks. I kind of got a kick out of guys on me. It really is shameful. Thanks to Americans against the Republican Party for sharing this. So you're worried about the war on Christmas. What a shame. You don't feel the same about the war on voters, women minorities, unions, lesbian, gays, bi, transsexual, LGBTS, science, senior, vets, immigrants, education, healthcare, and the poor. You got a real point there. And the Grinch that stole Christmas. I kind of like this one. 30 congressmen want to bring Obama to court for not faithfully executing the laws. Somebody should bring this bastard to court for being such a jerk. You know? For being such a crook. This is the Minority Report blog. I still dislike this man. I really do. 30 congressmen want to bring Obama to court for not faithfully executing laws. This resolution allows the House of Representatives to bring legal action against the executive branch and challenge recent actions, inactions, and policies. Legal action against the president would be, according to an aide for Representative Rice, for ignoring Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution, Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution states, we shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as shall judge necessary and expedient. He may, on extraordinary occasions, convene both houses or either of them, and in case of disagreement between them with respect to the time of adjournment, he may adjourn them to such time as he shall think proper. He shall receive ambassadors and other public ministers. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed and shall commission all the officers of the United States. The resolution alleges that President Obama's administration has abused executive power and failed to execute the laws of the state faithfully. Thus, the resolution calls for civil action. And the House of Representatives shall bring a civil action in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia for declaratory or injunctive relief to challenge any of the following policies or actions. And there's 30 of them, man. You know, it just gets long and long and long. But, you know, let me just read a couple and we'll go on from there. The policy of the Department of Health and Human Services that with respect to health insurance coverage that is renewed for a policy year during the period beginning January 1st, 2014 and ending October 1st, 2014, health insurance insurers may continue to offer coverage that would otherwise be terminated or canceled for being out of compliance with various recommendations of Title 27 of the Public Care Health Act. Number two, the one-year delay in the application reporting requirements. Okay, that's kind of bizarre. The policy of the Department of Homeland Security to exercise prosecutorial discretion with respect to individuals who came to the United States as children, as announced by the Department of Homeland Security. It goes on. President Obama recently announced an administrative fix in regard to canceled health care plans due to Obamacare. Of course, he plans to provide a fix, which will recently alter his signature legislation without involving Congress. And over the summer, President Obama administration announced a one-year delay in Obamacare's employer mandate without involving Congress. Last year, President Obama administration granted temporary status to illegal immigrants who entered the United States as children without involving Congress. Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing, this guy. Now, the guy is just, you know, he's a dictator. All right? I mean, what the hell is going on here? Hey, come on. What the hell is going on? Oh, God. Well, this would probably tell you something. I so believe this. That this guy is a dictator. A wannabe dictator, and we're giving it to him. An eyewitness to Hitler warns Americans, keep your guns. Keep your guns and buy more guns. The Daily Sheeple. When Katie Wortham was a little girl in Austria, she witnessed firsthand Adolf Hitler's rise to power and the Soviet communist occupation that followed. She also witnessed for a decade the distortions of the media when it came to the reporting of the events. From her eyewitness perspective, Wortham said that the whole thing didn't happen overnight in a brutal attack like the media portrays it, but rather evolved into a dictatorship gradually over a period of a few years. Hitler didn't come across as someone evil to be feared initially. In the beginning, Hitler didn't look like or talk like a monster at all. He talked like an American politician. Here are some things that occurred in Austria, according to Wortham, that might look familiar to Americans. Hitler was elected with 98% of the vote. Hitler destroyed the existing medical system when he brought a national health care plan into being. First, people were forced to register their guns to cut down on crime. Then they were forced to turn them in or risk capital punishment for keeping them. And Wortham's eyewitness account is eerily reminiscent of what we can see going on in the United States today. In 1938, the media reported that Hitler rode into Austria with tanks and guns and took us over. Not true at all, she said. The Austrian people elected Hitler by 98% of the vote by means of the ballot box. Now you might ask, how could a Christian nation elect a monster like Hitler? Well, the truth is that at the beginning, Hitler didn't look like or talk like a monster at all. He talked like an American politician. We also had gun registration. All the Austrian people had guns, but the government said the guns were very dangerous. And children were playing with guns. Hunting accidents happened, and we really have to have total control safety. And we had criminals again. And the only way that we could trace the criminals was by serial numbers of guns. So we just dutifully went to the police station and we registered our guns. Not long after, they said, no, it didn't help. The only way that we won't have accidents and crimes is if you bring the guns to the police station, and then we don't have any crimes anymore, and any accidents. And if you don't do that, well, capital punishment. So that's what we did. It's a dictatorship didn't happen overnight. It took 5 years, gradually, little by little, to escalate up to dictatorship. When the people feared the government, that's tyranny. But when the government fears the people, that's liberty. Keep your guns, and buy more guns. Now 84, Katie Worthman is warning America, her adopted country, in the hopes that history does not repeat itself. Watch her powerful presentation below. If you don't want to go buy more ammo after that, then you aren't paying attention. Okay. It's 46 minutes, so I'm not going to play it, but yeah, I guess you get the point, right? Wonderful Einstein said, Einstein said something interesting. He always said something interesting, but he said, two things are, I just lost it, yeah, but, two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the universe. human stupidity is definitely that. Now, Sanjay Gupta, you remember him, right? He was the guy that used to be, he was the doctor guy, brain surgeon guy, ABC. Well, he says, we have been terribly and systematically misled for nearly 70 years in the United States, and I apologize for my own role in that. That's Dr. Sanjay Gupta explaining why he changed his mind on marijuana. Aha. Interesting, no folks? Did you know that getting dirty benefits the heart, skin, and immune system? Another reason to get back outside. Let's go to, this is something that really, really is interesting, I thought. Here's a statement by Mussolini and another statement by Bill Clinton. Mussolini said, fascism should more properly be called corporatism because it is the merger of state and corporate power. He said that in 1932. Well, Clinton, Bill Clinton, said, focus on the future with business and government working together to promote growth and broadly shared prosperity. Whoa. He said that in 2012 at the Democratic National Committee. Yeah. He wants fascism. He wants corporate welfare. He wants all these great things. And that's the great whoremongering Clinton. Yeah. I really am getting so sick of Democrats. I just can't stand them anymore. Not that I love Republicans. Don't care for them much either, at all. But Democrats really, really lost it. You know? Here's something where it's really disgusting. Senate Republicans were able to stop military pension cuts when Senate Democrats blocked a vote on an amendment to prevent the cuts by closing a welfare loophole for illegal immigrants Tuesday evening. The two-year budget deal brokered by Senate Budget Committee Chairwoman Patty Murray and House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan would cut military pensions by $6 billion over 10 years, leaving some Senate Republicans scrambling to stop the cuts. Removing this unbalanced treatment of our military retirees ought to be one of the key actions we should take before the legislation moves forward. In fact, greater savings than this can be achieved by passing a legislative fix recommended by the Inspector General of the U.S. Treasury, that would stop the IRS from improperly providing tax credits to illegal aliens. There you go. Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions on Monday announced his co-sponsorship of Mississippi Republican Senator Weicker's amendment to restore the military benefits bond, retirement benefits, Monday. Can you imagine, you know, cutting veteran benefits to give more shit and tax cuts to illegal aliens? I mean, what the hell is this? What kind of idiot, okay, are in our Congress? What kind of traitorous, miserable peckerwood, okay, what kind of horrible people, you know, do we elect here? Idiots. Complete and utter brain-dead idiots, okay? Sorry. But, you know, this Democratic moron crap, like Obama crap, is becoming, you know, it's like bleeding from the brain, man. And it just makes no sense. And it's killing our country. Whoa. It really is bleeding from the brain. Maybe this is a little optimism here, folks. Yeah. 10 signs that the global elite are losing control. Yay! Well, you wouldn't know by what I just read. You hear it all the time. We can never change the world or get down to the powers that be. So don't bother trying. This is always something I greatly disagreed with due to the fact that I always understood that our repetition of cycles in life only continued to support the elite and is what powers them. The very consciousness and tension that is sent into the ether when we utter those words or decide to live life and accuse to change our ways is what powers the elite. So how can we change this? We change our consciousness, our thoughts, intentions, and awareness around any given situation. As much as possible, do not want to see this sometimes. I'm sorry. As much as people do not want to see this sometimes, the ultimate play of the elite is a war on consciousness. They are not as concerned about power, money, energy, as much as they are concerned with suppressing our consciousness. That being said, humanity's consciousness is shifting. This is very clear if you look at the big picture. As a result, we are seeing very big changes in the way people see the world, and importantly, the elite's controlling is beginning to dissolve. We are seeing this in numbers of ways. People are not buying into the lies any longer. They are discovering the lies of the past and how they helped shape the corrupt world. They are not supporting war and realizing terrorism is an illusion. They don't blindly follow corrupt medical practices or health practices. They are taking their lives into their own hands and realizing their government does not have the best interest at heart. Joe Martino wrote that. But karma is coming for the elite in a big way. As the powers that be head toward a devastating defeat in their wars plans for Syria, signs are emerging that their rule over humanity is rapidly diminishing. Over the last decade, the global elite have been on a mad dash to consolidate power over the world. It's already been their plan, like some evil villain in a comic book, but after 9/11, the plan went into overdrive and then turbocharged during the financial crisis of 2008. Yet it doomed to fail because humans are meant to be guided by their own free will, not controlled like livestock. The more the elite try to control humanity, the more entropy occurs. Entropy, for those who don't know, is the lack of order or predictability, a gradual decline in disorder. Although the elite still enjoy a huge wealth advantage over the masses, they are now resigned to behaving like tyrants to maintain control. This, in turn, exposes that dark side, which has been cleverly concealed for ages. Not anymore. People are waking up in droves. At least as fast as the elite can build their full-spectrum prison matrix, let them try. To paraphrase Victor Hugo, no army can stop an idea whose time has come. And here are 10 signs that the elite are losing control of the people. Official lies no longer effective. No confidence in politics. No confidence in the media. Bankers are being rejected. Vatican abruptly cleaning up its act. Mutiny among prisoners. Militarized police state. Serious secession movements everywhere. GMO food being rejected everywhere. Cannabis liberation. Many reading this will think marijuana legalization is superficial development. However, it is a major signpost that the elite grip is fading. Enormous resources have been spent to keep cannabis illegal. Cannabis has been a powerful medicine for physical, mental, and spiritual health throughout the ages. This single plant represents a huge threat to the power structure and their industries, hence its seemingly senseless illegality. The approaching global reversal of the tyrannical policy of prohibition is the first of many concessions to come. So we got a lot of stuff happening, folks, and I'm hoping the awakening is here. Yes. Hey, a new study shows that magic mushrooms repair brain damage. Yeah. Let me check this out. A new study says that magic mushrooms repair brain damage from extreme trauma. Yeah. New study by the University of South Florida has found that low doses of the active ingredient in magic mushrooms repair brain damage caused by extreme trauma, offering renewed I hate pop-up polls. Right. The study, let's see, extreme trauma offering renewed hope for millions of sufferers of post-traumatic stress disorder. The study confirms previous research by Imperial College London that psilocybin, a naturally occurring compound present in shrooms, stimulate new brain cell growth and erases frightening memories. Mice conditioned to fear electric shock, then hearing a noise associated with the shock, simply lost their fear, says Dr. Sanchez Ramos, who co-authored this study. A low dose of psilocybin, led them to overcome fear conditioning and the freeze response associated with it faster than the group of mice in Kenacera, a drug that counteracts the receptors that bind psilocybin in the brain, the control group on psilocybin. Very good, huh? Decriminalization of psilocybin could help millions of people. Previous studies have shown that low doses of psilocybin produce no consciousness state altering effects, administered in the correct amount. Psilocybin could therefore be assumed to be safely treat post-traumatic stress with minimal risk of adverse side effects. Magic mushrooms could help millions recover from debilitating cycles of fight and flight, and other conditional biological responses caused by extreme trauma. If only they weren't listed as dangerous Schedule I drugs with no medical benefit. Meanwhile, doctors are authorized to dispense powerful side effect-laden pharmaceutical drugs to army vets and other sufferers from the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder without any evidence that these treatments actually work. And according to a major review of the Committee of the Institute of Medicine on the topic, the situation is so bad that an average of 18 American veterans commit suicide every day. Linked to a sharp rise in prescription drugs, depression, and other psychological conditions. Safe natural alternatives to pharmaceuticals such as homeopathic and herbal remedies have been found to alleviate symptoms. Meditation has also been shown to reduce high activity levels in the amygdala, the brain's emotional center, experienced in post-traumatic stress disorder sufferers as anxiety, stress, and phobias. So there you go, folks. You know, that's psilocybin. That's right, magic mushrooms. Get them while you can. I really started to admire this guy more and more all the time, and that's Eric Stone. He said, "I will not be the one to ignore criminality for the sake of political comfort. I would rather be without a state than without a voice." Yeah, I'm the same way. I agree with him. I fully agree with him. Yeah. Now, H.L. Mencken, back in the 30s, wrote this. "The American has grown so accustomed to the denial of his constitutional rights and to the minute regulation of his conduct by swarms of spies, letter openers, informers, and agent provocateurs, that he no longer makes any serious protest." Yeah. Isn't that true, folks? Isn't that true? You see, that's one reason I keep doing this show. I may be the only guy yelling out there, the only guy, maybe the only guy listening. But at least it's getting out. Somebody's saying it. And somebody's listening. I know I got thousands and thousands of listeners. So, you know, stay with us, folks. We'll keep pumping it as long as we possibly can. As long as we're alive, we'll keep pumping this stuff out. So, Obamacare aims to make all of us subservient to the government. It was never about health care. It was about control. That's right. And that was stated by a prominent black doctor named Ben Carson. Yeah. Let me repeat that. Dr. Ben Carson, a prominent black attorney, a black lawyer. I'm sorry, a prominent black doctor. Stated Obamacare aims to make all of us subservient to the government. It was never about health care. It was all about control. Hello. Remember I just read you about Hitler? His health care program? Yeah. And his gun ban program? Yeah. It's all there, folks. Oh, I got one more. FDA about to approve GMO salmon. Bad news, bad news. Write to them about that. They can't approve GMO salmon. Just hell, hell, hell. Farm salmon, high in mercury, high called Franken salmon. Clone. Alright. Health hazards associated with Splenda consumption. Now remember, Splenda is like aspartame. It's a sweetener. Okay? Gotta get rid of that stuff out of your cupboard. Dr. McCurla says the health hazards associated with Splenda consumption. Gastrointestinal problems, seizure, dizziness, and migraines, blurred vision, allergic reactions, blood sugar increases, and weight gain. But that's not all. Now, an in-depth scientific review of sucralose, published in the Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health, reveals an extensive list of safety concerns. Carcinogenic potential when used in cooking. Wow. So, I mean, it can cause cancer if you use Splenda in cooking. It also blows a huge hole in the argument that Splenda is a good choice for diabetics and or those seeking to lose weight. Yeah. Sucralose, not safe for cooking after all. All right? So don't cook with this crap. Don't eat this crap. Sucralose also destroys your gut health, destroys your entire digestive system. Oh, man. Diabetics, beware. The third issue of a particular importance for diabetics who tend to use artificial sweeteners to manage their condition. Alas, both animal and human studies showed sucralose alters glucose, insulin, and glucagon, like peptide levels. A relative study published in the Journal of Diabetes Care in September came to a virtual identical conclusion. Compared to the control group, obese patients using sucralose experienced a greater incremental increase in peak plasma concentrations, a greater incremental increase in insulin and peak insulin secretion rate, and along with a decrease in insulin clearance, according to the author. Yeah. This stuff kills you. These data demonstrate that sucralose affects the glycemic and insulin responses to an oral glucose load in obese people who do not normally consume non-nutritive sweeteners. Oh, man. This is bad. Genotoxicity, DNA damage it causes. Okay, this is sucralose, boys, and Splenda, okay, and all your artificial sweeteners. Potential drug interactions. Industry-funded studies are far more prone to missed safety concerns on this stuff. This is a huge article, but, you know, Splenda is not safe, and human alternative is not a safe and healthy alternative to sugar. So get rid of the stuff, folks. Get rid of it. Throw it out of your house right now. All your Splenda, all of your aspartame, all of your sweeteners, get it the hell out. If it's not a natural sweetener, you're better off with sugar. You might as well eat straight sugar than eating that crap. Okay? So that's basically the end of our show. And, I can tell you. But I want to thank you very much for joining me. And tonight. And join us tomorrow night. Good night, everybody. Have a pleasant evening.